Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
The following is paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Information on the program is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio 1020 KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
Tech 5 Radio, brought to you by the generous support of 321 Blink at 321blink.com. Chorus Call, C-Leveled at PittsburghTalks.com. Dollar Bank at Dollar.Bank. JRG Advisors, PTC Corporate Coverage Group at JRGAdvisors.net. Pittsburgh International Airport at PittsburghFlies.com. Plus Consulting at PlusConsulting.com. SDLC Partners at SDLCPartners.com. PNC Bank at PNC.com. And West Virginia University at WVU.edu. Strap on your seatbelts. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Andre Russo and Jonathan Kirsting.
Hey, everybody. You are tuned in to Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night. It's been a while since we've been in the studio. We've been out all over the place this summer. You name it, we have been there bringing you the best of what's going on in Pittsburgh's technology sector. And tonight, I have a very special co-host coming back to co-anchor with me. We have Jason Wolf from GiftCardGranny.com.
And GiftCard. Can you say that fast? One.
No.
No.
Because then I'll.
Slowly.
You know what I want to say?
Talk slow tonight.
I said GiftCardGranny one time. I just totally took those two things around. So you hosted with us when we were doing one of our TNTs down in the Strip District.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And I was like, Jason, come on back with us. Audrey couldn't make it in today. So she's like, call Jason up.
I was so psyched when I got that email. I was like, you know. And then I had gotten a little bit of a sore throat.
A tickle in the throat.
Yeah. And I said, you know, I cannot miss tonight.
No.
So I started drinking tea.
You got it there, man.
And I'm going to talk really slow.
I like it, man. You're sounding good. I think this is a good...
I think it's a better radio voice.
I think so, too. You're making me jealous right now. So anyhow, you know, we love talking about Pittsburgh's tech ecosystem. Yeah. It's more than just talking to tech companies and the people behind them, but it's the environment in which these companies can grow. And we've got a really cool guest here. This is a guy named Tim Hayes. He's an author. He's actually been a TEQ writer for us for, I think, 15 years more than that, Tim?
At least, yeah. Very cool.
And he's witnessed Pittsburgh's tech transformation. He's written about Pittsburgh's tech transformation, but he's also written about his upbringing in my old neighborhood, Mount Oliver. Or if I didn't say it correctly, Mount Oliver, right?
Mount Oliver.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And when you came up with this book, you left a note on my desk, and you left a copy of the book there. And I was like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, this is, I had totally forgotten that you were from Mount Oliver. And so I wanted to bring you in to talk a little bit about the book, why you wrote it, and then talk about Mount Oliver as this place that I feel like is ripe to become, you know, a fantastic neighborhood and a place for businesses all together to kind of bring back what it was, you know, many, many years ago. And you brought a guest with you as well, too, Tim.
Right. I have with me Rick Hopkinson. He's the borough manager of Mount Oliver.
From the Pittsburgh South Side. Mm-hmm. Go up to 18th Street. Go up the hill.
It's way up the top.
And go up the hill. And then up the hill.
Just keep going.
Up the hill a little bit more. And then it levels out and you're there.
Is that near Mount Washington?
It's within proximity to it. Absolutely.
Well, so
right.
Yeah, people that are not.
I'm glad you brought that up because this is why I'm glad you're here, man. You're keeping us true and honest, Jason. I love it.
Every now and then,
all natives. Yeah, that's
exactly
that's right. But the other interesting thing I think about the book is that, again, as I decided to get this thing published, I thought, you know, I had such a great childhood there, boyhood there, and the borough deserves to do better than it does.
Exactly.
Today. So I decided, I talked to Rick and a couple other folks who are also part of the Hilltop Economic Development Corporation.
Right.
Which is doing a lot of things to bring business back and just help the borough succeed even more. And what I'm doing is I'm donating half of the proceeds that I get from the sale of this book.
That's awesome.
The Economic Development Group in Mount
Auburn. I love it, man.
Awesome.
I love
it. So, you know, it's a good read for a good cause.
I enjoyed some chapters of it. I haven't read the whole thing. I've been reading it in bits and pieces. I would just say the story about you being hit by a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Frightening. That's all I can say. You are, and you're still crippled to this day because of it, right?
I still have a dent in my left leg.
You got a dent in your left leg, man. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. He survived being hit by like a early 70s Cadillac.
Yeah, yeah. And the guy backed up.
A big boat. Those things are huge.
Yeah, that's something hit by a Corolla there. You know what I'm saying? Right.
And the guy backed up and drove away. They never found him.
Never found him. So yeah. If you're out there listening, Tim's still alive. Thank God.
Yes, I'm still here. And if I ever find you,
absolutely,
you're in serious trouble.
So, Rick, tell us about Mount Oliver right now. What's going on to try to bring Mount Oliver back and make it a place for businesses and people to be?
Well, we're really working on the business district. We partner with the Hilltop Economic Development Corporation, like you mentioned, and also Economic Development South. And we found one of the biggest barriers to new businesses is lack of move-in-ready, usable space. We've actually been working with, we as in the HEDC in the borough have been working together to actually acquire properties through tax sale or sheriff sale and partnering with the Economic Development Corporation to rehab them and rent out to viable businesses and hopefully, you know, they want to locate there permanently or we can flip them again to a viable business.
Right.
We just did our first one in November, I believe, of last year, the old pet shop, Ye Old Pet Shop.
I remember the Ye Old Pet
That's
Shop.
That's it, yeah.
Yes. Y-E?
Yeah,
why?
Old. And actually, I believe old had an E on the end of it, too.
So. It does.
Oldie.
Yeah. Well, the artwork's still there on the side. We wanted to leave that, preserve that. Yeah, but right now it's sort of a collaborative co-working space with EDS, so Economic Development South, Berkshire Association, and NeighborWorks, and Rebuilding Together Pittsburgh. So
very cool.
Yeah, it was like an $80,000 rehab.
That's
viable building. Yeah.
So right now it's co-working space.
Right.
Very cool. So it could be the old co-working space.
Yeah. That's it.
I like it. Now, Jason, you as a serial entrepreneur,
yes.
You know what it takes to get a business up and going.
Yes.
And being able to get something, getting into some space and being in an area.
My first question is, what is the cost per square foot?
Okay.
What is the cost per square foot for something like that?
Well, I don't even know.
You don't know.
It's got to be under 10, right? Yeah. It's got to be super affordable.
You know, as a startup, you're looking, you know, what is the cost to rent? And what is the proximity to the city? Sounds like it's pretty close.
The proximity is so fantastic.
So you're right there.
Exactly.
What is the population of that area?
Of the borough?
Yeah.
3,400.
3,400. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and from what we were talking about earlier, that whole area up there seems like it's growing. It's maybe the next...
You think of the adjacencies.
Places,
to it.
Yeah.
The south side is like almost out of space.
Right.
Right.
Where else are they going to go?
So exactly.
This could
up the hill.
It. This could be it.
Yeah, it's very affordable, and we also have to be ready to capture it, too. So we've been making a lot of improvements to the business district. We just replaced all of the sidewalks in the 1 and 200 blocks.
Okay.
We're doing some landscaping.
Right.
We actually had a couple of new businesses open over the past year.
Great.
A bakery.
Another bakery.
And then candy shop. Chocolate shop.
A chocolate shop.
Yeah.
Nice.
I need to actually not drive through, but walk through. I usually drive. I stop at the hardware store, pick up supplies, go to my mom's house.
Oh yeah, that's totally.
I need to roll through a little more time.
Yeah, anywhere you go, it's a totally different experience on foot.
If people want to learn more about the Mount Oliver area or the Economic Association, where can they go and get more details as to what's available and how they can maybe chip in and participate or, you know.
Well, partake? I always post updates on Facebook. We have a borough Facebook page.
Okay.
And that's probably more active. I'm more active on that than the website currently because we're going through a whole web redevelopment process.
That's
you know, giving me a call. I'm always taking calls to help
Absolutely.
Folks.
Absolutely. Very cool. And Tim, people want to get your book.
The book is available on Amazon.com. All you have to do is type in my name, Tim Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S. There's oddly another Tim Hayes who put a book out about horses or something. Don't waste your time with that.
Yeah. You're the number one speechwriter by PR News, I read. So
right.
You can't mess them up. I mean, you know what right. you're doing.
I would know the first thing about a horse, but I know about writing.
He knows about a speech, yeah.
Speech writer, right. You'll find him.
So Amazon.com, look under my name, or it's also available at the Mystery Lovers Bookshop in Oakmont or Caliban Books in Oakland.
Fantastic stuff. Thanks for stopping by. We have an awesome show in front of us today. We have Wombat Security. We have a Flywheel stopping by, and also part one of our of an interview with Dimitri Shirey from Deloitte, talking about workplace culture. And I got
culture. That's awesome.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the next wave, I'm telling you.
It is. I got Jason Wolf with me here. He's from Gift Card Granny, co-hosting with me in place of my usual co-host, Audrey Russo. This is Jonathan Kirsting. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org.
Now, back to Tech 5 Radio, brought to you by the generous support of 321 Blink at 321blink.com, Chorus Call, C-Level at pittsburghtalks.com, Dollar Bank at dollar.bank, JRG Advisors, PTC Corporate Coverage Group at jrgadvisors.net, Pittsburgh International Airport at pittsburghflies.com, Plus Consulting at plusconsulting.com, SDLC Partners at sdlcpartners.com, PNC Bank at pnc.com, and West Virginia University at wvu.edu. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Audrey Russo and Jonathan Kirsting.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Tech 5 Radio, bringing you the best of what's happening in Pittsburgh's technology and business sectors here. We just have way too much fun really bringing you some of the great stories that are happening here in Pittsburgh. And we have Dimitri Shirey here from Deloitte. And Dimitri, we're going to give you a frequent flyer card here pretty soon for Tech 5 Radio. I think one more appearance, we'll stamp your card, and you get like another free appearance afterwards if you want to. And then we just keep, you know, punching this card. We love having you stop by the show because you bring us such great content. You bring us insights that not many of us are thinking about. So it's great to have you stopping by here.
Jonathan, thanks so much for having me back on the show. It's great to be here as well.
You keep us honest, and I like that, man. I like that a lot, and there's always such fun stuff. What has really been fun over the past year, we've talked a lot about culture.
We have.
So much about culture. But before we dive into that, I always like to level set with our listeners. We always get new people that are just tuning in for the first time. And you're an impressive guy, Dimitri. What's your background and what you do here leading up Deloitte in Pittsburgh?
Well, Jonathan, I'm very fortunate to serve as the managing partner for Deloitte here in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
And you know, I have about 37 years of experience specifically dedicated into three industries.
Okay.
You know, process and industrial products, financial services, as well as energy. And when you look at our economy and some of the iconic brands that reside in our own backyard, I've been very fortunate to serve many of those companies in those respective industries.
So it's never the same day twice you're here at Deloitte. You're always working on something different and fun.
Well, that's what makes Deloitte extremely exciting.
Absolutely. Great, great stuff. And then Deloitte itself, just give our listeners a little overview. What are some of the core competencies of Deloitte and the types of projects that you work on with some of these clients?
So fundamentally, Jonathan, when we think about going to market, we go to market through four distinct lines of business.
Okay.
We have the traditional audit practice, the traditional tax practice, which is focused both on compliance advisory as well as compliance. But at the same time, we also have a financial advisory services practice and a consulting business. And our consulting business predominantly focuses on human capital, technology, as well as strategy and operations. So when you think about it, we are an end-to-end, fully integrated professional services firm.
Walk right in and you're taken care of one way or the other. All the way around. Great stuff. Now, what's been so much fun, as I mentioned before, is culture. And you've been talking about people and culture over the past year. And it actually warms my heart in some ways, because I think it's often easy for us to forget, with all the technology around us, that at the end of the day, it is people that make companies happen. Whether it's Deloitte, whether it's a tech company, whether it's a manufacturing company, whatever it is the people. And you guys have put a real focus on that in some of your content lately, which has been a lot of fun. I remember earlier on we talked about the importance of getting more women to serve into board and the leadership positions. And then we talked about the importance of family leave and some things that Deloitte was doing. Refresh our memory a little bit on some of those things and why Deloitte is really looking at the importance of your people.
Well, Jonathan, first of all, I think when you look at the clients that we serve and the economic environment that we all operate in, by and large, there are two distinct and important constituencies.
Okay.
One constituency is the client, the
right.
customer.
Okay.
Ultimately, the customer. It always is and will be about the customer. At the same time, it's also about an employee's experience. Because of the critical demand for talent and the continuing need in order to attract and retain the highest performing professionals within our organization, we need to be adaptive. And we need to be progressive in how we are accommodating a multi-generational organization, a multi-generational workforce.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And because of that, we need to look at different things that are important to them. And you've already touched upon it. You know, certainly culture is extremely important to us as an organization. So when we think about what are some of those levers that, you know, drive a culture, inclusivity and diversity are key aspects of our DNA.
Completely foundational.
Completely foundational. And not only have an impact on our employees, but certainly have an impact on the clients that we serve. And so when we think about how we do business, we will constantly come back to the idea of serving both our clients and our employees at the same time.
I love it. All the way around, good, good stuff. So last time we talked, we were talking about the importance of giving people the work-life balance, because when you have, you know, employees that are doing well at home, they're doing even better at work, and better at work means they're doing better at home. It creates this great snowball effect.
So said another way, Jonathan, said another way, a happy employee at work is a happy employee at home, and an unhappy employee at home is a happy employee at work.
It is
bilateral, going both ways.
All the way around. And I know, obviously, the folks that work here, I mean, tell us a bit about some of the benefits that you do offer. This is, not only do you, you know, provide this as advice to your clients, but you practice this here at Deloitte. So as far as like family leave goes and flex time, tell us a little bit about that.
So yes, one of the benefits that we recently initiated here was expanding our family leave policy. You know, by and large, it really was focused on parents who had newborn children. And one of the things that we began to recognize, and that, you know, our workforce began to tell us, is that because we do operate in a multi-generational workplace, that there are other demands on people's times rather than simply a newborn infant.
Exactly, right.
And
right.
I mean, when you think about baby boomers who have a need to care for aging parents, or you know, employees who have to care for siblings, one of the things that we've done as an organization is we've recognized that it's more than just about newborn children that allows individuals to take some time off from work. It really is about serving the needs of our employees with respect to everyone that they need to care for. And so what we did was we expanded our family leave policy to include 16 weeks of paid leave on an annual basis on a rolling 365-day year.
That is impressive right
that,
there.
That really allows our employees to deal with, you know, whatever personal issues that they may need to face in caring for loved ones. And, you know, the good news about this is it provides flexibility, and at the same time, it provides a platform for individuals not only to continue their career with Deloitte, but also meet their personal responsibilities on the home front.
Great stuff all the way around. And we're moving forward, and that's reminding our listeners, we're talking to Dimitri Shirey, who leads up Deloitte here in Pittsburgh. And recently, you just wrote a really interesting piece about team chemistry and how it helps organizations thrive. And I want to touch on that a little bit, and then we're going to completely nerd out on it next week for part two. Because, you know, we do two-part segments here, Dimitri. We don't mess around.
That's why I keep coming back for more.
That's why I'm telling you, you will be the fifth Beatle of Tech Vibe Radio before you know it, or the sixth Stone, all depending upon where your preferences lie. Just saying. So I'd love having you stop by so quickly. Just tell us a little bit about this team chemistry. Just a quick overview of what this team chemistry thing is all about. I know it's about having the right mix of people working on projects.
Well, again, in its broadest sense, it truly is about inclusion and diversity.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
in working with clients and in working in the Pittsburgh marketplace, you know, one of the themes that we hear time and time again is that organizations aren't getting the performance they need from their teams. Well, you know, as a firm, we took a step back and we began to look at ourselves to say, you know, how can we up the ante? How can we amp up the overall performance of our teams? And one of the things that we have spent a lot of time on is investing in this theme called business chemistry. And it's truly about being able to understand, being able to hunch around what is the business chemistry of different individuals that you need to interact with, whether it's in a client environment or it's building teams within Deloitte to serve that client, so that what you're truly doing is bringing the right characteristics, the right personality, the right nuances that allows that seamless type of interaction between individuals. And that is not by accident. That is by design. And it's truly being able to understand what it is. Well, it's truly being able to understand people's preferences and how to align against them.
Fantastic stuff. We're going to have a cliffhanger here. I'm going to make everybody come back for part two to learn more. We are going to completely nerd out on team chemistry in the next segment with Dimitri Shirey here from Deloitte. So keep your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. You can learn more about us by going to pghtech.org, then go on to Twitter at pghtech. We'll be right back after this quick break.
The following program is paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council.
Now, back to Tech Vibe Radio. Brought to you by the generous support of 321Blink at 321blink.com. Chorus Call, C-Leveled at PittsburghTalks.com. Dollar Bank at Dollar.Bank. JRG Advisors, PTC Corporate Coverage Group at JRGAdvisors.net. Pittsburgh International Airport at PittsburghFlies.com. Plus Consulting at PlusConsulting.com. SDLC Partners at SDLCPartners.com. PNC Bank at PNC.com. And West Virginia University at WVU.edu. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Andre Russo and Jonathan Kirsting.
Welcome back. You are tuned in to Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night, and I am so pumped to be hanging out with Jason Wolf from giftcardgranny.com.
Awesome to be here.
Thanks for with us, man. Yeah.
It's great. Nice warm studio. Kicking back here.
Kicking back, doing our
Friday
thing.
Night.
Absolutely. So, Jason, what's the latest with gift cards these days?
Wow, what's the latest with gift cards?
Yeah, and Gift Card Granny for that matter.
Well, the leader in the space, Blackhawk, in Pittsburgh, ended up keeping the location after they bought giftcards.com, which is huge.
That's a lot of people still in Pittsburgh doing good stuff.
Oh, sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
And they are the biggest gift card business in the country and probably in the world.
Here in Pittsburgh.
They have an office in Pittsburgh, and I think they're expanding the office.
Wow.
So that's really good for our
That's what I'm talking about.
Sector and the things that we do here. And gift cards continue to grow. It seems like it's never ending.
Absolutely.
And we do with Gift Card Granny, we buy the ones you don't want.
That's what's so cool.
And then we resell them.
So giftcardgranny.com.
Gift Card Granny.
You know what else is growing and scary, though? Cybersecurity and phishing scams.
I know a lot about fraud because of gift cards.
Unidentified.
Tons of it. We're sitting right on the front line.
Ooh. See, that's a hole there I wasn't even thinking about.
Yeah, big time.
I'll tell you what. We got a great guest with us right now. Amy Baker from Wombat Security.
Hey, Amy.
No stranger to the show.
That's right. We go back a ways.
I know. I'm thinking like 5 or 6 years.
It's been that long? That's right.
Absolutely. Now, quickly, Wombat. Tell our listeners. Give us a little reset. What's Wombat all about?
Wombat builds and sells software solutions that help organizations teach their employees how to avoid cyber attacks.
Right.
Really important. As everybody knows, cybersecurity is in the news all the time. A lot of really recent attacks, which I'm sure we'll hear a little more about in this discussion.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And you just released a user risk report as well, too.
We did. So we like to do a lot of research to understand knowledge levels in the industry and with general consumers. This particular piece of research was 2,000 computer users based in the U.S. and the U.K.
Okay.
And we did a survey to understand what they know about cybersecurity. And it was, unfortunately, still a little upsetting.
Oh, very upsetting. I saw part of that report.
I had to console Jason before we came on there. He was so upset.
I looked at that and I said, okay, what is malware? And 30% of the people said it was hardware to boost your Wi-Fi connection.
Oh, like, my
wait, wait a second here.
I know. Nowhere. Oh, my gosh.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
And Jason, I'm no techie.
No.
But, like,
I could guess
I know
better
that.
Than that.
Yeah, exactly.
I can guess. That doesn't sound right.
Exactly. I can guess better.
Mal? It's, like, bad. It's the word mal.
The first three letters they're telling us is not boosting anything.
Wow. 30%.
Right? And 30% of people still don't know what phishing is, even. And that's almost a household term.
Isn't that when you
get down to the pH, not the
F. The pH, not the F. You're right. This isn't. There's no dinner at the end of this fishing. No,
it's just a lot of misery and pain.
That's right.
A plate full of nothing.
That's right.
The wanna cry.
And that made a lot of people wanna cry, wanna for cry. Sure. Yeah, so that particular attack, it's funny, we did our research just before that attack happened. And so it's interesting. We'll go back and do some more and understand what kind of impact news like that has and how much more it builds awareness, which is important. But there's two components. It's the awareness, you know, that there's cyber attacks happening, but it's the, are you educated enough to know how to avoid them and report them so that you can start to solve the problem yourself too,
exactly.
And or protect your organization and your own personal identity and things like that.
And it all starts on the front lines with your people.
It does. They are,
as far as that goes,
people don't realize
there's not enough red blinking lights in the world on in front of firewalls and servers that are going to protect you. It's all about really training the culture of your people and how
right.
they look at emails and respond to it's them true. Or don't respond to them.
It's true, yeah.
Still, 55% of organizations don't train their employees how to avoid attacks. And so all of those organizations are exposed. Their employees don't know enough to know how to protect themselves, and therefore their data is exposed. And all the cyber criminals know that.
Absolutely.
And so they're looking at that going, this is the weakest link for me. I'm going to go after a user. I'm going to look at their Facebook posts. I'm going to pick up the phone and call them, ask them some questions, and I'm going to stage a targeted attack, and they're probably going to give me some information I really want.
And so you go into companies and you educate?
We built software that helps them educate,
okay,
so it's incredibly scalable. So lots of, you know, hundreds of thousands of employees, companies with that many employees can easily roll out a program because it's software-based.
And you guys are growing like crazy, too.
We are growing like crazy. We have doing a ton of recruiting.
I love it.
We have 30 open positions right now.
Wow, 30 open positions.
Yeah, lots.
I'm looking for a job.
Yeah, me too. We're both looking for jobs.
I write code.
Yeah, exactly. He does the code. I'll just do like a radio show around it.
Really
about
good.
That, yeah.
I'm sure we could use your help. Software engineering and
software
marketing
engineering.
And sales. Lots of open positions. We have two locations in the Strip now. So we're at 3030 Penn Avenue and at the Crane Building at 25th and Railroad, I think.
Yep. When I heard you had two locations, I was like, oh, my goodness. I remember when you guys were like 6 or 7 people.
Well, I remember that, too.
Exactly.
How many employees do you have?
Over 150.
150, wow. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes to show you how important this is. And I can attest, the Pittsburgh Technology Council deployed this for a few weeks or maybe a few months, I think about a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
And I passed, but then I failed one. I clicked on something that I was not supposed to have clicked on, and I immediately had to take a test.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now, anything, nothing, doesn't get clicked on unless I know exactly.
You are know. Trained.
And I had a couple spoofed ones. There were ones where it looked like it was coming from somebody
mm-hmm.
else, but if you
mm-hmm.
looked in the subject line or you looked down in the footers, things weren't quite right.
So Wombat sits there and tries to trick you.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, they're treacherous
nice.
Like that.
We are, but of course,
but
we'd rather have you fail in a safe place than to
exactly.
a cyber criminal.
That's true, yeah.
Exactly.
If you're gonna be fished anyway, it might as well be by the good guys.
So
exactly.
What happens if I fail? What happens? You take a test?
Yep.
And then what?
And then it's like, well, you know, if you do again, then it's like a longer test or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, you do more training.
Do
more
training.
More training.
Oh,
yeah, until you know.
Until you figure it out.
You pick
and then
it
you
up.
Stop failing.
And then
you don't have to
out.
Get training. Yeah, and no more training then.
Exactly.
Or at least for a little bit. So training retention, learning retention is kind of an important thing too, because to your point is, well, we did that for a while, but then what happens is you tend to forget. And so then it's a matter of, we really recommend people do training all year long.
Mm-hmm.
The
right.
threats and the attacks are happening
absolutely.
All year long.
So to reminding our listeners, we're talking to Amy Baker from Wombat Security. And you talked about people are learning all the time because there's always new types of attacks that are coming out there. What are some of the more recent things that we should be freaked out about?
Well, and of course, the ransomware is one of the newer things. Within the last 18 months or so, there's been a huge rise in ransomware attacks. And those are attacks that can encrypt your files or your computer, and the attacker requests payment in return for de-encrypting or unscrambling your files.
And they want Bitcoin, too.
They want Bitcoin.
Non-traceable.
Exactly.
Correct.
And they even like give you a link on how to do it. Like, I mean, there's no messing around, right?
There's like a little video you play and they show you how to do it.
A little video, yeah. So, you've been taking ransom.
Here.
Here's how to get to your local Bitcoins, eh? Give it to us, and guess what? We still won't give you your files back.
And that's the truth.
Right.
And so that's the issue, is we... part of our other research is that we found that only about 2% of companies pay the ransom. And we think that's an interesting number only because we think, well, some people maybe are smart enough to realize you don't pay the bad guys. They're just going to keep coming back, right? Or I'm not going to have my files back anyway. I'm just going to have to move on. And the really smart companies are doing regular backups.
That's,
so that
I was say,
when
right.
somebody encrypts your stuff, you're like, that's okay. Oh, that's I got right. another copy got somewhere here. Else and I don't need it.
Exactly.
But the really scary ransomware attacks will encrypt all of your backups too.
Ooh, the super bad. Sophisticated ones.
Uh-huh. So you really do need to make sure your users are educated and making sure they're not surfing the dangerous places.
How many people were infected by the WannaCry ransomware that came out? I think it was in May.
Yeah, it was hundreds of thousands of people were infected. And it's interesting because I think they just barely scratched the surface.
Could have been more.
It could have been more.
Why did it stop?
It's a good question. I think that I hope they're not sort of regrouping.
Regrouping.
they're doubling down. Yeah, they learned stuff from that first attack, and now they're going to use it for even worse
that
attacks.
Was,
instead of want to cry, it'll be want to die.
Exactly.
they're coming after you.
Exactly.
right. I hope they're not just, oh, I learned a lot, but let me do that one more time. I hope
right.
not.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, scary. Wow, so if people want to go to Wombat, Wombat Security.
WombatSecurity.com
in order to check all this out. I really encourage people to go there and check it out because this is literally like, this is like life and death many times. It really is. I mean, from a business standpoint especially, it's one thing if you lose all your pictures and files sure. because you don't want that to happen. But if you're a business, I mean, your data is your business. You can't lose it.
Reputation damage is very difficult to overcome from something like this. Absolutely.
But one of the questions I have about this sort of thing is I've noticed that my accountant will get an email from me saying
yes.
that the CEO wants you to wire money.
Yeah.
And it's urgent.
That's called business email compromise.
And now, how would they know who my accountant is?
Mm-hmm.
And how would they know that I'm the CEO?
That's happened to us as well, too.
That's crazy.
Yes. That's really scary, and it probably means somewhere along the way they got access to some information you didn't expect them to, and then they're using it to stage that targeted
that's
attack.
Crazy.
There's a lot of wire transfer fraud like that, and that's billions and billions of dollars worth of losses.
Why is the world so creepy? I mean, it seems like the web just brings the worst out of us sometimes. I don't like that, but that's just the way it is, and that's why I'm glad that Wombat's here in order to train us and make sure we're not clicking
absolutely.
On things and wiring money when we should be wiring money.
I don't want to take the test. I don't want to take that test.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, goodness. So you said you're hiring.
We are hiring,
you have to have an awesome work culture, I bet. Do you guys have a lot of fun when you work?
We do. We do a whole bunch of different employee activities. We do team events. We do company events, location events. We did a little cornhole tournament, actually, amongst the departments and the team. That was really fun. So, yeah, we do a lot of different things like that. It's a work hard, play hard environment, for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
Startup land.
Do you still consider yourself a startup? I think you guys have been around for
We're kind of old for that now.
Yeah.
I think we're
maybe
you're teenagers.
A startup all the time, though.
We're kind of like more like teenagers.
Don't tell anybody.
We're teenagers.
Don't tell anybody. Just keep acting like
a team.
Startup.
Well, I think you keep the mentality, but when you got 150 people working for you.
I'm
thinking like you're legit, man. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely mid-sized company by the way.
Mid-sized
thousands
company.
Of customers, too,
yeah,
from all over the world. We've opened an office in London, too.
I know.
So,
and this all came from a little bit of research out of Carnegie Mellon University.
That's right.
Way back in the day, which is why I just love having places like Pitt and Carnegie Mellon because that stuff spawns companies. So, Amy, thanks for stopping by and hanging
thank
out
you
with
great
me.
Great to meet you.
Yeah, it's nice meeting both of you.
Fantastic. Thanks. Once again, WombatSecurity.com.
WombatSecurity.com.
Go there and check it out. It's where it happens. Simple as that. Jason, I'm so glad you're hanging out with me today.
This is awesome. I'm loving this.
We always
I'm learning things.
Me
this
too.
This is awesome.
That's why we love doing this show. It's great to put a spotlight on these great companies like Wombat, like what you're doing at Gift Card Granny. Like, and it's too much fun stuff.
We just call it Granny now.
So. You call it Granny?
Granny.
No, we're going on Granny. Simple as that. Very cool. Hey, we're taking a quick break, but we are coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. It's me and Jason Wolf hanging out and doing the show, having a good old time. Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. After you do that, moosey on over to Twitter at pghtech, and you can get all of our tweets and follow up with all the great stuff happening here. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Now, back to Tech Vibe Radio, brought to you by the generous support of 321Blink at 321blink.com, Chorus Call, C-Leveled at pittsburghtalks.com, Dollar Bank at dollar.bank, JRG Advisors, PTC Corporate Coverage Group at jrgadvisors.net, Pittsburgh International Airport at pittsburghflies.com,
Plus Consulting at plusconsulting.com. SDLC Partners at sdlcpartners.com. PNC Bank at pnc.com. And West Virginia University at wvu.edu. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Andre Russo and Jonathan Kirsting.
Welcome back, everybody. You are absolutely positively tuned into Tech Vibe Radio tonight. I'm having way too good of a time hanging out with Jason Wolf. Jason.
Hey, this is awesome.
I'm telling
you. We're learning
you,
a lot.
I know. We have fun.
It's good. And this next guest is great, too.
There's some great stuff going on here. I can't wait.
Cultural stuff.
Cultural stuff.
Yes.
People don't realize.
I don't think they do.
How important. And you know this, Jason.
I do.
You've built many a company and grown them quite large.
Can I talk about that real quick?
Yes.
Before we bring the guest?
Yes.
We go through a lot of process to try to find the employee to bring in.
Okay.
So we do IQ tests. We do a personality profile.
Oh,
we do all this.
You could
stuff.
Never hire me, dude.
Right. So, like, you know, we go through all this work. Well, we'd hire you.
I would fail.
No, you wouldn't.
You'd be like, your IQ is only like 110, Kirsten. You can't possibly work.
I didn't say we're looking for the highest IQ.
Okay, then I'm in. I'm in.
IQ.
I'm in. Okay, keep going. I digress.
So, you know, we're trying to almost like bring somebody into the family, if you will. Right.
Right.
And, you know, if you came into my family, and in my family, we like to ride bikes.
Oh, I like your family already. He's
talking to me. We like to kayak. We like to ride.
Right.
But you like to read. Okay. You get into our company and the culture doesn't fit. So we do all this work to try to find the employee,
right,
looking at all these little metrics and the things that we evaluate, but we don't look at culture, at our own culture, nor matching,
right,
the candidate to the culture of the company.
Aha. And that's why we have Flywheel here. These folks integrate,
awesome,
play into work to help companies create energizing cultures that improve productivity, innovation, and collaborative teams, man. This is people need to tune up and listen.
I'm listening.
Absolutely, man.
I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're all for that.
Hey, we're all for that. We're all for
Make me blush,
that.
Actually.
We have Adam Nelson and Amanda Lowe of Flywheel here. Introduce yourselves real quick, guys.
Hi, I'm Adam Nelson. I'm an entrepreneur, game designer, systems thinker. I work on intersections between people, places, ideas, and happiness.
Amanda.
Nice.
I'm Amanda Lowe. I have a PhD in psychology. I used to work as a psychotherapist and an educator, and now I'm all about how we can change and design human systems to bring out the best in everybody.
Whoa.
That's good.
I like it, man. I like it. So let's get the ball rolling, man. Like, what does this mean to a company like Jason?
What is this?
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, Jason, your company it exists at a point in history where the nature of work is, like, radically changing from what it was a generation or two ago. The industrial model that, like, Pittsburgh grew up around and grew up based on is fading away in a lot of places. Even in places where you're doing industrial work, that work looks super different than it did two or three generations ago. And one of the things that is happening is that it is becoming the responsibility of business owners and business managers and leadership to not only change the way that they interact with their employees in terms of managing, but actually change the whole system of participation that employees undergo in doing their work. We both believe very deeply in the people want to work. People, and there's a lot of evidence that people want to do good work for the people that employ them. And an organizational system needs to accommodate that. It needs to provide opportunities for people to make meaningful contributions. So a lot of the work that we do is in looking at different organizational systems and identifying areas where the contributions of people are being enabled or disabled in positive or negative ways.
Wow.
Well, I was going to say, for example, so your book reading, book loving, sort of nerdy person,
sure,
who isn't as athletic and outdoorsy as the other people, that might be a cultural fit challenge, but it also could be something that you could harness the power of if you could think about, how do we get the nerd to participate in the best possible way? Because that person is actually going to be picking up a bunch of different information that the kayakers and bicyclists might not be
exactly
picking up.
Exactly.
So how do we do it?
How do you do it?
Yes, let's.
Well, let's use this example, right?
Sure.
So there's an element of harnessing intrinsic motivations. And this is what you said, Jonathan, about our work incorporates the idea of play. And a lot of people misconstrue that as, you know, funny hats and big parties and that sort of thing. Play is really a much, much deeper phenomenon, And play has its roots in intrinsic motivation. But so my background is in economics and game design. I think about what incentivizes people to...
Never thought that as a game designer, you're thinking about what incentivizes people.
Oh, absolutely.
Which goes right to the culture thing.
Right.
It's all about that.
Oh, man.
It's all tied together.
So is economics, right? People think about economics as the study of money, but it's the study of choice. Like, why do people make certain choices in certain ways? And economics up to this point has been kind of impoverished because it thinks of people as rational, profit-maximizing automatons. And in actuality...
I love those kind of people.
they're great at parties.
Exactly.
people are way more complex than that. Right?
And we all know
this intuitively, right?
They're pretty simple.
So let's take the example of the person you want to welcome into your family. They're intrinsically motivated to do something that is not the same as everybody else, but that doesn't mean that they have nothing to contribute. So you could set them up with figuring out where to go next, where to find the next bike route or kayak trip to go on, because they're going to be looking and reading and finding and pulling all this information together. They're intrinsically motivated to do it, which means they're going to do it with more effort, with more dedication, with more loyalty, to greater effect than somebody who wants to go ride bikes or wants to go kayak, and you say, okay, but before we do that, you have to do all these other things about planning our trip.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Amanda.
And they say, no.
I don't want to do that.
Please don't make me do that. Right?
Exactly.
So do you have software for this, or how do you...
No.
You go into the company and...
Yeah.
I'm the owner of the company. Yeah. How are you coming into my company and interacting with my business?
Yeah. So our process is a very humanistic process, which means it's mostly about talking to people and understanding what the conditions are that motivate them. And then mostly what we do is we diagram that for company leadership, and that takes the form of reports, or it takes the form of presentations or analyses.
Okay.
But what we try to spell out is not that how people feel necessarily as the root cause, right? There's a lot of consultants and analysts that will say, okay, your problem is that your people are like feeling not motivated or unhappy or something like that.
Right.
And that tends to attribute that to the person, right? This person is not motivated. You need to motivate this person. What we do is we look at the entire system of interactions that are going on, which, by the way, don't happen in your software. They're maybe enabled by your software, but are about a human being interacting with another human being to produce work.
In a context,
In
right?
a context, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we diagram out those contexts for you and help you see where the thing that we're doing here, the action that we're taking, the workflow that we've engaged in is actually demotivating people on a systemic level.
Oh, wow.
So when do people know they want to engage with you? Something, has there been a moment that they realize our culture is not working right, or they want to set their culture up from the get-go and build the company based on a plan? How does that tend to work?
Well, I think our dream clients are the ones who want us to be involved from the beginning.
Yeah.
But oftentimes it's the case that...
I feel like it's a crisis.
It's a crisis. Yeah. It's sad to say, but it's true.
Someone got threatened with scissors.
People realize that something isn't working, and often that's been going on for some time, right?
Okay. And you work with companies large and small, or is there a particular sweet spot with who you work with?
That's funny that you mentioned that. I mean, this company is very young. One of the things we were talking about before we came to the interview was exactly how to describe what we're doing, because, I mean, our individual backgrounds are in people and in systems and understanding how those work. And over the last 6 months, we've been turning our attention and our interest towards the application of those ideas to companies. So we've only been around for like 3 or 4 months in an official capacity.
Yeah.
But we've been working on this individually for 10 years, and Amanda for how long?
I guess I've probably been studying these things for about 20 years.
Yeah.
You look like you're 20 years.
Thank you very much.
Ever since you were born, you've been thinking about this. I love it, man. I love it.
So at first we thought that the application of these ideas would apply to startups because they tend to be more progressive, they tend to be more interested in people, and they operate on a very small level. So the possibility of setting up a humanistic system early on.
Mm-hmm. Especially like when people are interested in flat organizations or they're really interested in trying an innovative model, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Turns out startups are very difficult to work with because they're developing a business model. And from our perspective, an organization has a business model and an organizational model. And ideally, the two should complement each other. And a lot of organizations, they don't. They actually clash.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, they're working on... I mean, Jason, you can probably attest to this. Yeah. If you're starting a company, it's fast and furious, man.
Fast and furious.
Yeah. Well, but and part of that is that we're organizational models really haven't been updated since the industrial era, so we still operate under this hierarchical organizational model. Some companies, sounds like yours, Jason, have a familial focus, like an inclusive focus, sure. a welcoming idea. Yeah. You're not just a cog in the machine, you're actually right. a person. That's a relatively new idea,
is that right?
Right? And you're seeing the benefits of that,
yeah, sure.
but that doesn't occur broadly across industries yet. So the clients that we target, the ones we're most interested in working with, go across industry sectors, but they tend to be what are called middle market companies, right? So somewhere between $5 million in annual revenue, and technically that category is up to $1 billion in annual revenue.
Yeah.
That's a little bit bigger than I'm interested in at this point. But they're flexible.
Right.
They have relatively small teams, 50 to 100 people, and they drive the economy. They tend to be resilient where big businesses are not.
Exactly. They can still move and change.
That's
a lot
exactly.
Quicker.
It's exactly
they're not
right.
the big battleship that barely turns.
That, yep, right. That's exactly right. Right.
And typically in these companies, the people who are at the top really care,
yeah.
really
right.
care about mm-hmm. the well-being and functioning of the company beyond just as a revenue generating.
For sure.
Yeah, in part that's because the distance between the highest person, the lowest person hierarchically in the company is really small.
Exactly.
It's
right.
on the order of, you know, 5 people instead of 105.
Makes right. sense. Right. If people learn more about Flywheel, can they go and like nerd out and think about
what's
this?
What's the URL? That
yeah, the URL is goflywheelgo.com.
I like that. Go Flywheel Go.
That's right. So it's like Go Duck Go, I guess, but goflywheelgo.com. That website is being updated incrementally with more and more research.
Well, I was going to say, you probably have a lot of stuff for people to like nerd out on.
Well, totally. And our philosophy is that we don't. These ideas are interesting, but they're not limited to, they're not proprietary. We
right.
want to share them with people. So we're updating our website with more of that information. We just wrote an article for...
Coming out in TEQ Magazine.
That's right.
Yep.
Nice. Tech Magazine.
About it's on deck.
TEQ Magazine.
They can find you on Facebook, too, I guess.
No, we're not on Facebook. We're not on the social medias, in part because we work with some Sense Behalf, and so we try to keep a relatively low profile.
Low profile. Okay.
But you can find us online. You can also email us through our website and get in touch. Pretty easy to find. We're
good stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. I love it. We got to go. We're done.
Oh, wow, that's it.
Jason, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah.
Flywheel, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having us.
Amanda, appreciate it so much. Yeah.
Great to meet you guys.
If you want more Tech Vibe Radio, to keep tuning in here to KDK every Friday at 7. Got great guys like Jason here with us.
I love this.
I know. Jason, thanks for hanging out
with us.
Audrey
has to go away more often.
I'll tell her that. You'll be back on with us actually in a couple weeks for another show.
Awesome.
So I'm glad to have you man in the booth with us here, man.
Wow.
Hey, if you want to learn more about the Tech Council, go to pghtech.org. Do that and have an awesome week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.